You're listening to the Message Podcast of High Ridge Church Longview, where our vision is to help you know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and ultimately make a difference. We are so glad that you're here, and we pray that this message impacts your life as you apply the spiritual truths from God's Word in practical ways. Let's listen in.
Good morning, everybody. I am so glad you're here. Welcome to church. I think you made a great decision by starting out your week in the presence of God, getting into His Word, gathering with a group of believers, lifting up the name of Jesus. I think everything in your week is going to get better because of the decision that you made today, and I'm grateful that you're here with us. Grab your Bible if you would. We're going to turn our attention to the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. As I'm doing that, I want to welcome in all of our friends watching from online all around the world. High Ridge Church, give them a big warm round of applause if you would. Hello. Good to see you guys. People watching, not just from Longview. Hey, just get here. It's okay to drive in the rain. You're not going to melt. Then from our friends watching all around the world, for our missionaries that we're connected to the Berry family in Cameroon, we love you guys. We're glad that you're watching with us. So awesome to be connected to you and to our spiritual family. And then also we have some guests with us here today. So all the way from Rockland, California, our High Ridge Rockland fam is in the house. Some of you guys are here. Some of them are serving in there. Some are serving back in the kids. As a matter of fact, would you just stand up if you're serving from Rockland? Could you stand up and let us honor you? There's a couple of you here, a couple of you in the back. Come on, family. So in case you don't know, we are a family of churches. We've got churches in Weatherford, Texas, in Fort Worth, Texas, in Graham, in Mineral Wells. Love what's happening there. Of course, right here in Longview, and then all the way in Rockland, California, Pastor Levi and his team. And so they love us. We're connected to them. And they say, can we bring in a whole bunch of people? Can we come to you guys and have service with you guys? Can we hang out with your fam? And then can we have some amazing Texas barbecue while we're at it? So we took some of your generous tithe money. We took them out to the best ribs on the planet at a little place in Kilgore called Country Tavern. And we burned that place down last night. Let's tell you. They were out of everything by the time we were done with it because it was an amazing feast. But we got to show them a little bit of East Texas hospitality. And it's such an awesome, wonderful privilege to have our Rockland, California family in the house with us today. What an awesome thing. I want to say thank you for your generosity. You guys are an amazing giving church. I love that every week I don't have to stand up here and have to beg for money to keep the lights on, but we're able to do so many amazing things, not just here in Longview, but around the world, and then even across the street. In case you didn't know, we have an amazing team of children's workers that are doing awesome things with your kids across the street right now because of your generosity. Over the past 9 weeks, they took part of our series, Rebel Heart, in a way that kids could understand, and they were able to do amazing things. They were memorizing scripture. They were learning about the Word of God. They were inviting their friends. They were bringing their Bibles. They were taking faith steps. Kids, your kids were taking faith steps. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. And one of the rewards that we got for those that did the best over the past 9 weeks, they got to have a pie a pastor day. And I want to show you a few pictures from that. So I'm glad it was not pie the senior pastor day, but it was pie a pastor. We sent Pastor Doug over there. Pastor Zach, Pastor James were all over there. And those kids got to just go nuts putting, and they didn't just like put a little pie in the face. They like push it in your face and then push it up like into your, it was bad. But I love that our kids get to have fun at church. Come on, somebody, that's a good thing, come on. Thank you for being a generous church. Thank you for taking care of our ministry so that we can take care of your kids. We can take care of our amazing youth. Miss Hannah and her team are doing a fantastic job taking care of our little ones. I love what's happening right across the street. I love what's happening in Rockland, California. For those of you that don't know, this was a few years ago. God called Pastor Levi to leave Fort Worth and to transition out into California to plant what is now High Ridge Rockland. These guys don't have a permanent building. They're meeting inside of a community center. And one of the things that they needed when they first got there, I asked them, what can we do to help you? And they said, we need a trailer with some equipment. And there's a church that didn't make it through COVID that was down in Florida that had like church in a trailer, like all the equipment to run a church. And so with your money, with your tithe money, we bought that trailer and we had some people go down to Florida, pick it up and drive it all the way to California to deliver it to High Ridge Church Rockland. And they're able to use that equipment every single Sunday to set up and tear down. They show up at 6 a.m. and they bring out the stuff that you bought with your money to be able to bring the gospel to a state that needs it. Come on, somebody. California needs some Jesus. So let me just say on behalf of some people that you may never meet, on behalf of some that you might meet today, thank you for being a generous church. Thank you for letting your tithe dollars and your generosity money, thank you for letting it come here. You're making an incredible difference and it's working. And so thank you for that. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're going to get into God's word today. Anybody excited about spending some time with Jesus? Come on. It's such an honor to be able to read God's word. And so Ecclesiastes chapter 3 is our text today. I want to bring a message called Don't Miss It. Look at the person next to you and tell them, don't miss it. Don't miss it. Look at your second choice. Say, I don't even know what it is, but don't miss it. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, we're going to pick it up in verse 1. The writer Solomon, one of the wisest men to ever live, to ever exist, writes this. There is a time for everything. Don't miss it. There's a time. That word in the original language means that's a God-appointed season. It's a God-appointed season. There's a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens. He says, there's a time to be born and there's a time to die. You know, God looked down from heaven and chose the exact moment that he wanted you to be born. God knew exactly what time in the grand timeline of history, what time to put you. He knew the country. He knew your parents. He looked ahead in time and said, I want to put you right here. You're going to make a difference in the timeline that I put you within. And I'm grateful you had a time to be born. Now, you didn't choose that time. God chose it for you. There was a divine appointed time that God put you in. There's a time to be born and there's a time to die. You may not think it'll ever come, but it's important that we recognize that our life has an expiration date on it. There's a time, and God knows that time. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot. There's a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build. There's a time to weep, and a time to laugh. It's okay to laugh every once in a while. Sometimes it's time to laugh. He said, there's a time to mourn, and there's a time to dance. See, not everybody was raised Baptist. You can dance sometimes. Sorry to my Baptist friends. There's a time to dance. There's a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace. And there's a time to refrain from embracing. I love that scripture. For those of us that are hashtag not a hugger, that's important for me to say. God's word backs it up. Hey, it's not time for all that. Where's my non-hugger people? Where are we at? Come on. Some of you were raised Baptist. You won't raise your hands at church no matter what I ask unless you're voting for me to go and find a new job or something. You won't ever raise. I'm just telling you, some of us, like when COVID happened and people were like staying 6 feet away, we're like, I'm living my best life. This is awesome. Don't touch me. I'm not a hugger. Now, I had to learn when I moved to Longview, Texas about 10 years ago.
That's right.
Y'all are some hugging fools. Not a hugger. But after a while, it's like, we are going to make you a hugger. Like, hey, scripture says there's a time to refrain from embracing. I've had to learn how to become a hugger. I said this in first service. I had 54 people that lined up in the lobby waiting to give me a hug. I'm like, I'm leaving. I am moving to Rockland, California, where not a hugger can exist. No, it says the time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. There's a time to search, and there's a time to give up. There's a time to give up the search. That's important because we have to recognize those seasons in our life. There's a time that I'm looking for a spouse, and there's a time after you get married, say, I'm no longer looking for a spouse. Come on, somebody. It's a time to give up searching. You ain't in that season anymore. This is my single season. No. You've been married for 35 years. You are no longer single. Give up the search. That's a word for somebody. It says there's a time to keep and a time to throw away. Sometimes it's time to get rid of some stuff. Look at the person next to you and said, he's preaching to you. There's a time to throw some stuff away. There's a time to tear and a time to mend. There's a time to be silent. Do not look at the person next to you and don't do it. Resist the urge. Mm-mm. He said, there's a time to be quiet. Time to shut up. Time that you're not supposed to talk. And he also says there's a time to speak. Times that you're supposed to speak up. You need to say something. He says there's a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. As we're reading into the word of God and what it's saying to us today, it's important for us to recognize that Solomon said there's a time for everything. There's a time. And he lists out this and he lists out that. There's a time for all of this stuff. And those are God-appointed seasons. Here's what we have to pick up from the scripture today, that life moves in seasons. Life moves in seasons. And by the way, God gave us the seasons to remind us that your life will also move in seasons. Nature moves in seasons. Life moves in seasons. God moves in seasons. God is also a generational God. He introduces himself in scripture. He says, I'm the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. He says, I'm a God that's faithful to 1,000 generations. Like he's able to see the end from the beginning, the Alpha, the Omega. God moves in seasons. And that's one of the things that he's constant about. He's constantly moving in seasons. Life moves in seasons. God moves in seasons. The Holy Spirit moves in seasons. There are times the Holy Spirit's moving in a certain area. It just makes sense. And there's a time where he moves on to the next thing. Out of all the things that we study in nature and in the nature of God himself and the nature of the Holy Spirit, we recognize that they all move in seasons. You know who has a hard time moving in seasons? We do. We have a hard time moving in seasons. We have a hard time transitioning from one season to the next. Why is that? I think it's for two reasons. Number one, it's because we're constantly longing for a season that we're not in yet, which causes us to live in a fantasy land. Well, when I get there, then I'll do this. When I get all of my stuff worked out, then I'll start serving the Lord. When I become the future version of myself where I'm good enough, that's when I'll start doing this. When I make enough money, then I'll start being generous. When I finally get married, that's when I'll be happy. When I finally work this out, then I'll get to the good stuff of my life. When my kids finally get out of the house, when I finally retire, that's when I'll be able to say, I've made it. I fall in love too easily with the future version of myself and cause myself to live in fantasy land. We fall in love with the season that's not here yet. Or there's the flip side of that coin. We fall in love with the season that happened 50 years ago. And there is nothing more pathetic, especially for guys, than someone that lives in their glory days of high school. I scored 4 touchdowns in a football game. You should have seen me. I was a beast. Like, that was at recess. You went to a Christian school with 12 kids. Let's calm down. You should have seen me. You should have said, no, we shouldn't have. Let's calm down. But we fall in love with the past. We were good a long time ago. We had that used to could disease, right? I used to could. Oh, you should have seen me. I used to could. We find ourselves not transitioning very well with seasons because our best days were back in high school or back in middle school or back in the day when it was this and back in the day when the Holy Spirit did that. Or we find ourselves falling in love with some future version of fantasy land. And we miss the season. What is God doing today? The Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, don't look back and long for the good old days. He said, that's not wise. It's not wise for you to live your life constantly looking in the rearview mirror. It's not wise for us to live our life constantly thinking about what could be coming. Now, let me just remind you, if you're looking ahead to the future and you have a vision for your life, those are wonderful things. But if you get lost in what could be, you'll miss what happens today. There are wonderful things that God is doing all around us today in the season that you're in because God chose the time that you were born and the time that you're gonna die. And he's given us that season between those two dates to make a difference. It's important that we don't miss it. You're not promised tomorrow. You have a season that God has strategically placed you in his sovereignty to make a difference. So how do we do that? How do we process through the season that God has each of our lives in? How do we make the most of that season? I want to make sure that we don't miss the season. Don't miss the season. Some of us put up your Christmas tree right after July 4th. Like, don't miss the season. My birthday's July 3rd. Don't just skip to Christmas. Some of us wish we could press the fast forward button on our season. I'll just get to the good part, right? Let me skip past all this. Let me just get to the good stuff. And we find ourselves like you're using a Netflix remote or something. It's like, come on, this is not a TV show. Enjoy the moment. Yeah. Yeah. How do we do that? How do we process through that biblically and theologically? I want to give you a couple of things that we have to make sure that is nailed down in the way that we approach this season so that we don't miss it. So here's the first of three things. If you're a note taker, go ahead and write this down. Number one, I can't choose the season, but I can choose my response. I can't choose the season. So as Solomon is writing down all these things, he said, there's a time to do this and there's a time to do that. There's a time to do this, there's a time to do that. And there's the reason why he uses that word, because it means God-appointed season, not you-appointed season. I can't just say, it's a time to kill, get out there and start slaying. You're gonna go to prison. I can't just say, it's time to uproot. I can't just decide it's time to plant. This is what I want. By the way, our world does that constantly. They'll fall in love with different seasons. Or let's say I'm the one that's in charge of my life. I get to decide what time it is. I get to decide what season it is. It's July 4th, but I'm handing out Christmas presents. You don't get to change the seasons. You don't get to decide the seasons. That's not for you to decide. I don't get to choose my season. I get to choose my response. That's where my free will comes in. But the sovereignty of God is in play when God says, I chose you from the foundations of the world to place you in this exact point in history to make a difference in the season that I put you in. And you don't get to choose the season. God chooses the season. What do I get to choose? My response to the season. The Bible tells us in the book of Daniel, it says, He, God, he's the one that changes the seasons, and he's the one that changes the times. He's the one that says it's time for a pumpkin spice latte. He's the one that gets to choose that. Now, we have this thing in our world today just called a calendar, and they'll say, well, today is the first day of winter. If you live in Texas, maybe. But we find ourselves on a day where you think it should be cold, and you're wearing a jacket. Trust me, mistakes were made. I took this thing off after the first service. I'm like, this is dumb. This is real dumb. It's supposed to be a different season. You ever done that with your life? Well, it's supposed to look like this. Well, I'm married now. I'm supposed to feel this way. Well, I'm at a place where I'm moving to this direction. That's how it's supposed to be. I can choose my season. God chooses the season. You get to choose your response. And here's the good news that we have to make sure that we understand. Seasons begin and end the moment that God tells them to. Seasons change the moment God says, now it's time. Seasons begin and end the moment that God decides it's time for that season to end. So I can't just wake up tomorrow morning and say, you know what? It feels like deer season. Let's go out and kill some deer. Like, that is not a thing. It's illegal, first of all. And some of you, like, you had no concept of that. Some of you have been hunting your whole life, year round. I asked somebody when I first moved here, what's the season for deer? Because I'm a big hunter and I love to hunt. What's deer season look like around here in East Texas? And somebody said, deer season ain't nothing here but salt and pepper. Deer season ain't nothing but salt and pepper. No, let me just remind you, like, there's a time for it, and everything else is illegal. It's out of bounds. And there's some things that God has set up in your life where he said, this is the time for that. It's not for you to decide. But you get to choose how you respond to the season that God has put you in. I wish I could just press the fast forward button on the cowboy season. Just skip on to 2025. But I can't. It is what it is. I don't get to choose the season. I get to choose my response. And I can say, you know what, today, I think I'm just going to take a nap instead of watching some football. I may just have a wild hair and become a Washington fan. I don't even like saying that. That tasted funny in my mouth. But there's a season for it. And every season of our life you have to walk through some times where you wish you could fast forward. You wish you could just skip to the good part. Don't miss the season. I'm reminded of this in Matthew chapter 26, Jesus himself is kneeling down at the end of his life. He's just about to be betrayed by his friend Judas, one of his disciples. He's about to go to the cross. They're going to whip him. They're going to beat him. They're going to string him up naked in front of all of his family and friends in his community. They're going to completely just destroy his own life. And right before all of that happens, Jesus knows that this next season that he's about to walk into is death. And don't you wish at that moment that he could say, you know what, I'd love to just kind of skip to the good part where Sunday morning happens, where I get up out of the grave and tell him, told you, YOLO's not a thing with me. But instead, in Matthew 26, what does he do? In the midst of that horrible season, it says he gets on his face and his sweat became like drops of blood and his anxiety was an all-time high, and his disciples are noticing he is completely under stress, and they record this for us to see that Jesus walked through some times where none of us ever wish that we have to be in that kind of stress. His sweat became as drops of blood, scripture says. And in that moment, Jesus says some crazy words. He said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. I don't want to drink this cup. I want to skip to the good part. If there's any way, God, can you let this season pass? You ever prayed prayers like that? I know I have. Lord, if there's any way possible, I don't want to have to walk through this. I don't want to have to walk through this part of my life. This is going to be bad. You ever had to walk through those moments? Here's the good news that Jesus Christ himself, the most perfect example, the only person to ever do it perfectly, had moments of great stress and pressure where he wishes he could skip to the next season. But he finishes off that prayer with some amazing words that we have to take and put it into our mind today. He says, nevertheless, Not my will, but yours be done. It's not about what I want, Lord. I can't skip this part of my life. But your will be done. You see, the right response to any season is those words, thy will be done. That's the right response. So I can't choose the season. I can choose my response. What's the right response? God, I wish you wouldn't do this. God, I'd like to skip to the good part. No, the right response is, Lord, thy will be done. Whatever you want. My answer is yes, I trust you. I trust that your nature is good. I trust that even in times where it's not good, you're still good. And you can show me something through this. That's the most important thing I want to share with you today. Here's the second key that I think is really good for us to understand. Number two, there's beauty and pain in every season. And we have to recognize that because we'll start looking at the past and either say it was all bad or it was all good. We'll look at the future and say it's going to be all good or all bad. We'll become either incredibly pessimistic or really optimistic. We can have our mind play tricks with us where I don't even want to get up in the morning because the future is going to be bad. Or I can't wait till I get there 10 years from now, then I'll be happy. Like, calm down. Don't miss the season. Don't look back and wish that things were great. Don't look back and foolishly tell yourself it was all good because it wasn't. Now, there's seasons of my life where it was incredibly beautiful. And even in the midst of those beautiful moments, there's still a lot of pain. For those of you that had the incredible privilege of being able to raise children, let me just tell you, it's beautiful and it's painful. It's wonderful and awesome and it's gross at other times. Come on, somebody. For those of you that are pregnant with your first kid, let me just tell you, don't nobody tell them about that first diaper change. But that is not natural. That is not human. Nobody told me about that and I'm not telling you. Nobody prepared me for that first diaper change. I'm like, I'm gonna need some help. I'm gonna need a lot of baby wipes because this... That's gross. It's amazing in that beautiful moment where they hand you this little shriveled up old man for the first time. You're like, that looks like me. And you're holding like, that's awesome. And then they start peeing on you. Like, oh. There's beauty. And there's pain in every season. There's good. And there's bad. There's a time. And sometimes those times and those seasons are running concurrently. It's beautiful and it's painful. For those of you that have ever had to walk through the pain of being betrayed, being cheated on, being lied to, for those of you that have ever had to walk through divorce, I know what it's like to have to be a single daddy. I did that for 2 years of my life. It was incredibly beautiful and horrible at the same time. Dealing and processing through my emotions and watching my marriage of 13 years crumble to the ground in the midst of being in ministry and watching people look at me like, you can't get your own family straight. Why in the world would I listen to what you have to say? I'm like, trust me, I know my life's falling apart. I get it. I understand. But I didn't choose this. That's not what I want. I didn't want to be single again. I didn't want to watch this embarrassment of my life turn and look like this. I wouldn't choose that. It's incredibly painful. But in the whole mystery of that season of my life, I found that I could trust God. I could find that I could hear his voice clearly. I found that he's the great physician that began to heal my heart. He began to pull things out of my life that didn't belong as I trusted on that friend that sticks closer than a brother. In times of incredible loss and incredible pain and the joys and the tears, I find that there's beauty and pain in the middle of that season. I want to remind you of this simple fact, and you know this because you live in East Texas. Every road that you travel on is going to have some potholes. Come on, somebody. The farther you venture out of Texas on I-20 and you hit on Louisiana, you know it's true. You can be blind as a bat and cross that state line and like, boom, boom, boom. Now we're in Louisiana. Here we go. I'm looking at you, Macy. You know. There's potholes on every road. It's okay. It's not all beautiful. It's also not all painful. There's beauty and there's pain in every season. Here's what we know. And the scripture tells us this. And I want to make sure that you see this. Every season of life is three things. It's passing, it's providential, and it's purposeful. This is important that we see this. It's passing, providential, and purposeful. Some of the greatest words that have ever been printed in the Bible, those four words, it came to pass. You're going to see this over and over in Scripture. There's a reason why it's there. And it's not just to say there was a passing of time. It's also to remind us, this too shall pass. There's a reason why we say that. It's based on Scripture. It came to pass. But this is a good season. It's going to pass. But this is a bad season. It's also going to pass. But I don't like this. It's not going to last forever. But I really like this part of my life. It's not going to last forever. It's passing. Look at the person next to you and say, it's going to pass. Look at your second choice and say, it may pass like a kidney stone, but it's going to pass. Come on, somebody. You know exactly what I'm talking about. It may pass like a kidney stone, but it will pass. But it's also providential. That means that there are things that God is showing us in this season that we have to recognize, that we have to submit to. I don't like this season. I may not want it to pass. I may desperately hope that it passes soon, but God still has a plan for me today. It's passing, it's providential, but it's also purposeful. There's a reason why God put me in this season. There's purpose in my pain. You need to notice that God doesn't waste pain. And the painful parts of my life teach me that when it's beautiful and things are working well, that I can thank God for what he's brought me through. That I can remember that this is okay. It won't always be this way, and it doesn't have to be this way. Sometimes it's okay to not be okay, but it's gonna pass. And I can learn, and I can grow. It's important that we see that. It will pass, but there's purpose that I can't miss before it passes. Amen, everybody? Is that okay? Here's the final thing I want to share with you. Number three, not only is there beauty and pain in every season, but number three, I can rely on the Holy Spirit in every season. And this is the most critical part of the message. This is what I think lots of people in our world have largely ignored. They want to decide for themselves what season that they're in. I get to choose this. No, you don't. They want to lie to themselves that, oh, this is beautiful, or this is incredibly painful, this is going to be like this forever, or it'll never become like, no, you don't get to choose any of that. Here's the constant, the power of the Holy Spirit. And once we learn to engage the third person of the Trinity, we can distinguish, and this is what's most important, the difference between what season it is. Solomon, in all his wisdom, says, there's a time to do this, and there's a time to do that. Here's my question. How do we know which one? How do I know that it's a time to kill? How do I know it's time to heal? What happens if I get it wrong? What happens if I'm healing what I should be killing? What happens if I'm killing what I should be trying to heal? What happens if I'm trying to mend something back together, and God said, there's a time to pull it apart? What times if I'm planting? What happens if it's that time to plant, and I'm supposed to be uprooting? How do I know? Here's the good news. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. Once we get a relationship with him, he begins to tell us, this is where I want you to go. This is how I want you to do it. The Bible tells us this in John chapter 16. Jesus says this about the power of the Holy Spirit. But when he, the Holy Spirit, that's he calls him the Spirit of Truth. That's important. The Spirit of Truth. Here's a good point. Here's a good reminder. You don't get to decide what's true. God says what's true. And the Holy Spirit will reveal to you, this is what's true in this season. It's time to kill. We need to kill that out of your life. Or it's time to heal. We need to ask for some forgiveness over here. He gets to decide. He's the Spirit of Truth. It says when he comes, he's going to guide you into all the truth. And he gets to show you what's coming in that next season. He gets to show us how to prepare for the next season. He gets to show us this is what's coming up. This is what I want you to do right now to make sure that you're ready for the next season of your life. The Spirit of Truth. I talked to you at the very beginning about how difficult it is for us to transition between seasons. And by the way, this is part of the human condition. Humanity has never, ever been good at transitioning between seasons. You notice that in the beginning of the Bible, God introduces himself to humanity. God forms man. God sends man to be fruitful and to multiply and to just continue to prosper and to grow. And man has a hard time submitting to God's ways. God introduces himself. I'm God. Here's my rules. And man's like, yeah, no thanks. I'm not into that. We have a hard time distinguishing between, it's not the age of man. It's his time. And then the book of Matthew comes and Jesus shows up on the scene. God sends his son. And there's a transition between God and the Son of God. And unfortunately, people do not transition very well. We've just gotten used to trying to just obey the law. And now Jesus shows up. Yeah, we're not having that. But it's the season of Jesus. People didn't see it. They didn't transition very well. No. We don't like that season. We don't like this version. And here comes Jesus healing and delivering, setting people free. Blind people are getting their sight. Deaf ears are opening. People are getting up out of the graves and they're like, I don't know. Let's kill them. Because man kills what they don't understand, and they will refuse to transition. We refuse to get it in our mind that we are supposed to transition. So what happens when Jesus steps off the scene in the book of Acts? What happens, his disciples says, yeah, we don't want to transition to this new season. Because the Old Testament was the Father. The New Testament was the Son. And now we're into the age of the Holy Spirit. This is where we are today. Because Jesus says, no. It's better I should go. Because I'm going to send you the Spirit of Truth. And he's going to tell you things that you need to hear. He's going to show you how to recognize the season. He's going to show you what season you're in, how to live and to walk and to process all the things that God has given you to live and walk and process through. The Holy Spirit is the truth. Here's what we know, that in good times or bad, the Holy Spirit is my guide to what is true. What am I supposed to believe? Let the Holy Spirit show you. This is why it's so important that we wake up every morning instead of saying, good God, it's morning, and say, okay, Lord, good morning. Holy Spirit, come. Show me what you want to show me. Holy Spirit, take over my schedule today. Help me to treat people the way that you want me to treat people. Help me to show the world what they need to see through me. Use my day. Holy Spirit, come. I believe it's the most powerful three-word prayer that you can ever pray about your day. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Show me what you want to show me. Help me to know, is it time to plant or time to uproot? Is it a time to mend or is it a time to tear? Holy Spirit, show me what's the truth. Is it the time to gather stones? Is it the time to scatter? Is it the time to search? Is it the time to give up? Holy Spirit, show me. The Holy Spirit is the constant in every season of life. The Holy Spirit is the decider. The Holy Spirit shows me what is the truth, what to believe, what to put my efforts behind. He knows what season I'm supposed to be in, and he understands the will of the Father, and the Holy Spirit is God's gift to each of us. Can you imagine, though, if someone was to give you a Christmas gift this season? I really thought about you a lot, and I want to give you this perfect gift. I think you'll like this. And you get that gift, you think, that's awesome. I appreciate this gift. This is beautiful. I love the way that you wrapped it. This is awesome. And then a year from now, you're like, I still remember that gift that you gave me. It's still wrapped. It's still sitting on my desk. Oh, it's awesome. You know, a gift is something that doesn't just have to be received. You got to open it. You got to use it. And the Holy Spirit is God's gift to you. And the moment that you were saved, God gave you his Holy Spirit. But many people have never engaged with him, never used it. As a matter of fact, a large number of our denominations have tried to say, let's just throw that out in the back burner. And they foolishly replaced the Trinity instead of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit with God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Bible. The Holy Spirit is not the bronze medalist of the Trinity. He's the keeper of the season. Do you understand the difference? And that doesn't in any way diminish God's word. But Jesus said, it's better that I should go because the Holy Spirit's coming and he's going to guide you into all truth. And in an age where our world is looking for what's true, we need to re-engage with the power of the Holy Spirit to discern the season that God has put me in and what he wants me to do next. Not my will, Lord, but let your will be done. So how do I maximize this season for the glory of God? How do I make sure that I'm doing exactly what God has called me to do today? I think the secret is found in just engaging with the Holy Spirit. Number one, here's Psalm 118 that tells us this. It says, this is the day the Lord has made today. What am I going to do? I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to be glad in it. Does that mean that today is the day that I'm just supposed to rejoice? Well, no, it's going to have good stuff and bad stuff. But I rejoice. Why? Because I'm not in charge. I can be glad in it because God has a plan for my life. I can be glad because it may not be a good season, but it'll pass. I can choose to rejoice. I can choose to have joy no matter what season of my life that God has me in. Why? Because he's on the throne. And I get to be a part of his plan. I have the Holy Spirit living and working active inside of my life that leads me to the next step. And God will expertly navigate you through the things that would shipwreck everybody else. If we learn to listen to the power of the Holy Spirit, submit your day to him. It's a good thing for you. This is what I think most believers are missing. It's the power of the Holy Ghost alive and active, working in your life, helping you to distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. And what season of life God has you in. Can you receive that, everybody? Yes. So for some of us, you're like, well, you know, what are some of the faith steps we can take today? Let me just remind you, there are some things that it's always the season for. We want to make sure that we remind you of those. It's always a good time to do a couple of things. Here's one. Maybe it's time for you to get baptized. If you've never been baptized before, that's an important part of your life. That's coming up, by the way, on December 1st. There's a QR code right there for you. If you're watching online, you need to get baptized. Get in here. We want to hold you down under the water until the sin bubble stops coming up. We're going to get you baptized. But for some of us, baptism wasn't your idea. Your parents did that for you. Let me just remind you, like, this should be your decision. Your salvation, that's your decision. Nobody else can get saved for you. Your baptism should be the time where you say, I'm choosing you, Lord. And in the presence of my friends and family, my community, I want to make a public statement of faith. And it might be time for you to get baptized. For others in this place, it's time that you join the church and become part of a spiritual family. You need that. By the way, that's happening today. In our 12 o'clock service, you can walk to the building right behind me, and my wife is leading a class that we call our growth track. You're going to be able to ask questions and figure out, what do we believe here? Can I be a part of this family? What are you asking of me? You need to be able to ask those questions. That happens every single Sunday. Our growth track is available for you. You can make that decision today to be a part of a spiritual family. So if you've been kicking the tires around here wondering, how do you get involved? How do I become part of this church? That's how you do it. We give you a chance every single Sunday. Why? Because it's about today. What decision can I make today? Not some future version of me. When I get all my stuff cleaned up, then I'm going to join the church and be a good, upstanding citizen. No. Today. I love the words of Billy Graham. Just says, just come as you are. Right? I love that. Maybe today's a day where you move from being a spectator to getting on the field. For some of us, it's time for us to serve. You joined our church. You've been sitting there for a while thinking, you know what? These people look busy. Somebody should help them. It's you. We want to put you on our dream team. We want you serving. It's, by the way, it's good for you. And it's not because we just need a lot more people serving. It's the marker of a believer. We're to serve one another. There's something special that happens when you start serving a cup of coffee to somebody that you don't know. There's a little humility that happens in our hearts when we start picking up a piece of trash. When you serve over there in children's ministry and watch the least of these, watch the little ones learning about Jesus, something special happens. You need that. It's good for you. For other people, you've never given. You've never allowed the Lord to be the Lord of your finances. It's time for you. It's a good step of faith for you to take at any point of your life. Well, Pastor, you don't understand. It's been a rough season. I get it. I've been in those seasons. That's where you learn how to trust God. And in times where you're doing really, really well, that's the times where you bless God. But in good times or bad times, he's the Lord of my finances. I honor him first with the best of what I make. For others, I want to show you, by the way, there's a couple things we're going to do in the next few weeks. We have something, if you've been around here for a while, we have something called Legacy Sunday. And this Legacy Sunday is where it's a day of accountability and a praise report. I get to show you pictures and video of what's happening with your tithe money, your generosity all around the world. I take a year's worth of video and pictures and people that want to say thank you. And this is some amazing things. This has gotten so big, by the way, we've had to split it up into two different Sundays because you guys do a lot and you give a lot. But it's important as a church that we show you where your money's going. I want you to see it. I want you to see the faces of people that know Jesus because of you. I want you to see the stories of the healing that's come to regions because of you, because of your generosity. I want you to see the stories of what's happening with our family, like here in Rockland, California, and our family in Mineral Wells and in Fort Worth and in Parker County. I want you to see what's happening in Graham because that's part of your money. And so we keep ourselves accountable by showing you this is where the money goes. If you want to stand behind it, this is how you do it. And I'm going to give you two opportunities on two different Sundays to stand behind the vision of what God is doing. This is crazy. Last year, I told you, can you imagine what we could do if we didn't have the debt on this building? This building cost $2.2 million, which would be worth a lot more today than it was then. $2.2 million to build this thing. We did it with no money. But you guys not only paid the building off, you bought the building across the street from us, the Richard Parker Plumber building. And you guys paid that off in 90 days. Incredible things that you were able to do because this is a generous church. And I said, imagine what we could do if we don't have debt on this building. You guys just wiped it out. And because of that, we freed up a lot of funds to be able to do exponentially more than we've ever been able to do at any season in the history of this church. It's nuts what we've been able to do because you're generous. And I want to give you, those of you that have never given, I want to give you a chance to see what it's like to leave a legacy of making a difference. You need to see it. It's important for you to believe that God is still active and working in the local church. And the things that we can do with your generosity, You need to show your children what it's like to leave a legacy behind of something more than a selfish existence. It's important that you see that. So between baptisms or joining a church or serving or being a part of a dream team or Legacy Sunday, there's also things you can do. This is happening, by the way, next year. We're going to launch groups again. And if you missed out on groups because most of those filled up, I mean, really, really quickly, we're going to launch some more again. And this time, be faster. Groups are coming. We want to make sure we let you know ahead of time. They're going to come, and we want you to be involved in a group. You need this. It's good for you. Say that with me, if you would. It's good for me. It's good for me. For others in this place, it's time for you to engage with the power of the Holy Spirit. You might have been told all your life that the Holy Spirit makes you weird. No, he doesn't. That's not true. You were already weird. The Holy Spirit is your comforter. He's your guide into what's true. And this world is a confusing place, and this is a hurtful place. It's a dark world. Jesus said, better I should go. The Holy Spirit is here. And many of us refuse to engage with him because we're afraid he's going to make us do things that we don't want to do. Let me just remind you, who's the Lord of your life? Is it you or is it him? Because Jesus said this is better. It's a free gift. God's not going to force himself on you. He's not going to make you do anything. But when you choose to receive the power of the Holy Spirit, when you start engaging with him, when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and by the way, that word filled, when you see this in the New Testament, doesn't mean a one-time experience. It's multiple times. I need to be refilled and refilled and refilled with the power of the Holy Spirit because it keeps my flesh in check. It puts myself on the back burner and pushes the Lord forward. You're most important. You need that. How do I do that, Pastor? Guess what? We're going to give you an opportunity to do it today. At the end of this service, we're going to have our elders step forward with their wives. They're going to lay hands on you. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that can happen today. You need that. It's good for you. For others, you've never asked Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. You've never asked him to forgive you of your sins. When can I do that? Today. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. And we've sinned. We've messed up. We've fallen short of God's perfect standard. And in order to make that right, there needs to be a prayer of salvation where you say, Lord, please forgive me of my sins. I've messed up. Will you be the Lord of my life? Will you take over? And it may just seem like words to you, but God takes that seriously. The Bible says if you believe in your heart and you confess with your mouth, you're going to be saved. And that day is going to happen today for you. If you want a relationship with Jesus, my friend, I'm not here to embarrass you in any way. I would never do that. I'm not here to single you out or make you do something that you don't want to do. But if you know that this is the season that God has you in, where you need to be saved, you need to be forgiven of your sins, you need a new life, then that's going to happen right now. Would you bow your head and close your eyes with me? Perhaps you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, you're talking to me. I need that. I've been running from God. You may have even been raised in church and you've gotten away from God. You've been running from him and you know it. God knows it. You feel it already stirring inside of your spirit. If that's you, my friend, I want to invite you to take a step of faith. Once again, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way, but you need this and you know you need this. So right where you are, what I'm going to do is lead you in a prayer. I'll tell you the words to say and you can just repeat it after me. I'll help you just like somebody helped me one time. It starts with a prayer. So if you want a relationship with Jesus, even if you're watching online, if you want that relationship, pray this prayer with me. Right where you are, just say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you came and died, and I believe that you rose from the grave. You did that so that I could have life and forgiveness for my sins. Now say this, Jesus, I've messed up. I have sinned. I've made a mess of my life. Will you please forgive me? Will you help me? I give my life to you right now. I'm all in. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, my friend, if you prayed that prayer, with no one looking around, would you do me a favor? Would you look up at me and just slip up your hand and say, I did that, Pastor. I was praying with you. I see you. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. I see you. Yes, ma'am. I see you. Good for you. Yes, sir. I see you up in the top. Good for you. I'm not going to embarrass you in any way. That's not my heart. But I want you to know that if you prayed that prayer, right behind me, on the screen behind me, there is a phone number appearing. I want to invite you to text me. It can be that simple. Text me. Text the words, I prayed, to that number. If you're watching at home, it's appearing on your screen as well. text those words, "I prayed," to that number. What's going to happen when you do that is I'm going to send you the link to a couple of things that I've prepared just for you. It will explain what just happened inside of your heart. They'll tell you what I'm supposed to do next. It's the greatest honor of my life to help people meet Jesus and to know God personally. Good for you. I'm proud of you. High Ridge family, go ahead and look up at me and then let's stand to our feet together. We have 9 people responding to the gospel today. We think that's a pretty big deal. Come on, somebody. That's a beautiful thing. Today is the day of salvation. Don't miss the season. I'm going to invite our elders and their wives forward, and these guys are going to be available to pray with you about anything that you might be walking through. If you're walking through a dark season, you need somebody to lay hands on you and pray for you, let's make that happen today. If you want to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray for you. If you want to come up and celebrate, God did something awesome in my life, I just want to tell somebody what happened, this is that moment in the service. While everybody else leaves, you make your way forward, grab the hands of one of these people, and let us know what's going on so that we can pray for you. It was a couple weeks ago, we had a man that stepped forward. And he said, I just got an awesome praise report. You prayed for me about 4 months ago. He had a big lump on his neck that turned out to be cancer. He had throat cancer really bad. He said, and it's gone. It's gone. What an amazing thing. Let me tell you, God still does miracles. It is the season for miracles. God still does amazing things when his people start praying. And so don't leave this place without being prayed for. And then for everybody else, let me bless you and send you out today. Father, I thank you for my friends and I thank you for this day. Would you bless them with your power? Let them be led by your spirit all week long. In Jesus' name, and all of us said together, amen. God bless you as you go. Have an awesome week.
Thank you so much for listening in today. Our prayer is that you are encouraged and strengthened by the message. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to this podcast and leave us a review wherever you're listening. If you want to be a part of our online community, connect with us through Facebook or Instagram with the handle @HighRidgeLV, or you can check out our website at highridgelv.com. Lastly, if this ministry has impacted your life and you'd like to support its work, visit highridgelv.com/give. We appreciate your support and we're believing with you today for God's best in your life. Have an incredible week, and we will see you next time.